The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse, with daytime racing continuing through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. The upcoming stakes action will feature the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th, plus the meet's marquee race, the Great Lady M Stakes, on the closing weekend. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July, and our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. Great daytime racing continues at Los Alamitos.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we begin another week covering the great sport of kings Las Vegas style here from Las Vegas, your gaming capital, at the South Point Studios on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming network, and of course right here at the South Point on the Las Vegas Boulevard, and of course the South Point Hotel Casino Complex here in Las Vegas. We welcome you. We welcome all of the other listeners on the different platforms that we have, like our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. Let's keep it straight, 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, and of course all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, with the apps. You get the KSHP app that you can hear us, and the YouTube app that you can see and hear us on your devices, your iPhones or your Androids, and certainly anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show as we begin another week covering this great sport of kings here from Las Vegas. Today, I'm going to take a little time to talk to both Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo separately about this CAW, the computer-assisted wagering, and how it's affecting the betting pools and the closing odds in some of the races, as we have been seeing. And they are having studies on that right now. And we'll get a little bit into that, kind of explain the particulars about that a little bit in the show. But we're also going to take a look at what's going to happen over this coming week as far as the racing is concerned. Aqueduct will have a Grade 3 on Saturday. Churchill Downs, big day of racing at Churchill Downs on Saturday. 6 stakes races. The one Grade 1, which is a Breeders' Cup winning a rent, of course, that's the Stephen Foster. 2 Grade 2s and 3 more outside of that. So there'll be 6 stakes races this weekend, this Saturday, I should say. Not this weekend, but just Saturday at Churchill Downs. Woodbine Racecourse also has a big Saturday coming up. They got 5 stakes races, 2 Grade 2s and 3 Grade 3s. We'll take a look at those races as well. Gulfstream, Monmouth, and Pleasanton will all have a stakes race on Saturday. And on Sunday, Churchill Downs will come back with 5 more stakes races. And Monmouth Park will also have a stakes race on Sunday. Now remember, Churchill Downs is going to wind up coming up this weekend, because on the 4th of July is the start day of Ellis Park. Ellis Park will start its run in Kentucky on the 4th of July, which is, of course, next week after this weekend. And, of course, it'll be, I believe, on a Thursday, so we'll be doing our regular race day shows on the 4th of July holiday. Weather around the country, I can tell you right now, the weather around the country is just hot. And there are places that are just having floods. There was a dam that broke, et cetera, around Wisconsin and that area in the Midwest. So they're having some terrible weather going through there. And, of course, storms that are coming along that are providing more rain as well. But as far as today, looking up and down the East Coast, Gulf Coast, and West Coast, it's clear all the activity is in the interior of the United States, that's for sure. And that's typically going to be the way the weather is throughout this week. They're going to be heat places with a lot of heat exhaustion and heat warnings, etc., and humidity. And there'll be other places that are going to have the rainstorms. But we do, our thoughts go out to all of those folks in those flooded areas with the dam that was breached. Just terrible, terrible, that's for sure. Ellis Park, I said, will open on 4th of July. And, of course, here in Las Vegas, Nevada, big fireworks celebration on 4th of July as well. That'll be next week. We'll talk about that a little bit down the road. But as far as what's going on this week, a lot of big racing going on, a lot of stakes races about Churchill and Woodbine. Of course, the L.A. County Fair meet at Los Alamitos continues. That'll pick up on Saturday. They'll go Saturday and Sunday, and then they'll kick out on Thursday, 4th of July, and run right through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. That'll be the Southern California Racing, and then they're going to get ready for Del Mar as well as they are at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct. That's coming close to a close, and then they'll be moving to Saratoga. And then we'll have our some summertime racing from coast to coast, that's for sure. Taking a look at some news around the country, John Velasquez is going to go and ride in Ireland. He's going to have a couple of mounts in Ireland and for the Irish Derby, etc. And ironically, this is the first time that John Velasquez has ever gone to Ireland to ride, so that's kind of interesting there. The lawsuit against Heise and its constitutionality was struck down in the courts recently over the weekend. So Heise, they believe, is constitutionally firm. So we're going to keep Heise around overlooking and regulating the racing industry. There is a new NYRA claiming rule. I'm going to see if Jonathan Ardoon knows anything about that new claiming rule they have in New York. Looking ahead, Torpedo Anna and Sierra Leone, who have competed in Triple Crown events and certainly the events for the three-year-old fillies, they're back on the track working out. Batten Down, the recent winner of the Ohio Derby, Bill Mott said he's toying with the idea of bringing him to the Jim Dandy, which is the Saratoga prep for the Traverse Stakes at Saratoga on the 27th of July. So wait and see if Batten Down joins that group there for the Jim Dandy on the 27th of July. And trainer Librado Barocchio had three horses scratched over the weekend at Los Alamitos by the stewards at Los Alamitos, and they, for some sort of thought of some discrepancies in drugs in the horse. So we'll wait and see about that. I'll ask John Lendo about that. And Russell Bays, of course, hurt his hand in a starting gate accident over the weekend. We'll wait and see if he'll be back in action coming this weekend at Los Alamitos. And, of course, we'll take a look at the Stephen Foster. I'll take a look at that with Jonathan Ardoon. First glance at the Stephen Foster, which is the big grade one at Churchill Downs of the six stakes races on Saturday. It is a Breeders' Cup win in your in race. So the winner there will go on to compete if they want to. The connections in the Breeders' Cup. It's an automatic Breeders' Cup winning your in. And, of course, this weekend coming up is the Los Alamitos Derby. And if you say Los Alamitos Derby, you know Bob Baffert's going to have horses in there. They had six nominations for the Los Alamitos Derby. Three of them were from Bob Baffert. So we'll wait and see about that. Anyhow, we got a lot to cover on this show as we kind of set it up for the week ahead. Jonathan Ardoon will be with us. Rich Eng will be back with us. We'll ask him about the new Stanley Cup champions, Florida, winning that game in fine fashion. An exciting seventh game in the Stanley Cup playoffs there. So congratulations to Florida. And, of course, John Lindo will be checking in to tell us what's going on in Southern California and his thoughts about CAW as well. The CAW, the computer-assisted wagering, is something that's really affecting a lot of horse players, especially with the reporting of the odds of the horses as they make it into the starting gate and run during the running of the race, etc. We have talked about that, and I know that the industry is taking a look at that because, simply put, whether it's legit or not, It just does not look good for the gambling public for horse racing, that's for sure. All right, well, we set the table for you. We'll go to our first break, and when we come back, we'll get you your racing menu and start off with Jonathan, Richie, and John Lindo. So don't go away. We're just starting off this week of racing, covering it Las Vegas style, right here from your gaming capital. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse, with daytime racing continuing through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. The upcoming stakes action will feature the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th, plus the meet's marquee race, the Great Lady M Stakes, on the closing weekend. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July, and our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. Great daytime racing continues at Los Alamitos.
All right, back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday, and looking around the country, we're taking a look at some of the temperatures around the country, and I can tell you it's hot in places, 93 degrees in New York, 88 in Miami, that's okay for there. You got places like Charlotte at 99, Washington 98, Lubbock, Texas 102, Phoenix 111 is the hot spot of the nation today. We're going to start out, we started out at 90 degrees. It's 90 degrees right now outside here in Las Vegas, but we're going to get up to 112 today. So you can see that the temperatures around the country are in the in the realm of excessive heat warnings. And when you have excessive heat warnings, please, I'm just telling you time and time again, stay hydrated. Don't wait until you feel lightheaded or you're sweating. It'll be too late. Dehydration starts early. Simply put, drink a lot of water if you're going to be out and about. Keep the kids and the pets inside and check on the elderly to make sure they're okay as far as the weather conditions are concerned. The heat will get to a lot of people, that's for sure. So let's keep that in mind as we make it to the racing menu today. For today's racing action. So here's the menu. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here in Las Vegas at Sports Talk 1400 AM, and of course here at the South Point Studios streaming network, simply put, we're in the Pacific time zone. These will be the first post times that roll out in our books. If you're listening anywhere else around the world, as we have all these great platforms that we stream our show to. If you're in another time zone, adjust to the Pacific time zone so you don't miss anything. Of course, like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park's first post time is set at 9:30 Delaware Park. Then we go to Belterra Park. Belterra Park will start 5 minutes later at 9:35 at Belterra Park. Following that, we'll get Parks Racing. Parks Racing's first post time is 9:40. Pick 5 jackpot carryover today at Parks Racing is $167,994. Parks Racing, pick 5 jackpot again, $167,994. Post time is at 9:40. After that, we go to Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Churchill Downs starts at 9:45 a.m. Pacific time, 9:45. And they have a nice pick six jackpot carryover working there at Churchill Downs. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $275,082. $275,082 for the pick six jackpot carryover at Churchill Downs with a first post time of 9:45. Following that comes Finger Lakes. Finger Lakes has a first post time today of 10:15 in upstate New York. 10:15 first post at Finger Lakes. Horseshoe Indianapolis will get underway at 11:10. 11:10, first post at Horseshoe Indianapolis. And then we have Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs will kick in at 12 high noon Pacific time. 12 high noon is Presque Isle Downs. Following that comes Louisiana Downs. Louisiana Downs has a first post time of 2:05 with a pick six jackpot carryover of $108,395 in their pick six jackpot carryover at Louisiana Downs. And then we wrap it up with, of course, Penn National. Penn National's first post time is at 2:45. 2:45 at Penn National today. So that's the nine races on your racing calendar today. A lot of good racing out there. A lot of jackpot carryovers. Okay, time to go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. A nice clear signal we got from you today, that's for sure. You know, we've got, by the way, I said Bob Baffert had half of the six nominated horses for the Los Alamitos Derby, but they did already draw for the Los Alamitos Derby. There's only going to be five in the race, and Baffert thought maybe two would do. So he's got two of the five in the race. The five horses are Topalo will break from the rail, John Sadler trainee, Hector Barrios will ride. The two is Cornell, which is one of Bob Baffert's trainees with Edwin Maldonado aboard. The three is Winstock, the other Baffert trainee. That will be ridden by Kyle Frey. The four is Kamenia Cruiser. Kamenia Cruiser will have Abel Cedillo for Mr. Haraguay. And the five horse is Curlin's Chaos. Curlin's Chaos to be ridden by Mario Gutierrez for Antonio Garcia. And that's the field for the Los Al Derby coming up on Saturday at Los Alamitos. And, of course, the big race of the weekend, I think, is the Stephen Foster. It is a Breeders' Cup winning your in race. And believe it or not, the Stephen Foster purse is now $1 million. Wow.
Yeah, it's a big race at Churchill. They look forward to having it every year, and this should be another good field.
Now, it is another good field. There are nine in that race. I'll go over them quickly with you. Perennes is the one horse for Brian Hernandez and Sherry DeVoe. The two is First Mission, which, of course, is Brad Cox's horse Florent Garreau rides. The three is Happy American with Corey Knott Lannery for Neil Pessin. The four is Disarm, Joel Rosario riding for Steve Asmussen. The five is Dreamlike, Ired Ortiz Jr. for Todd Pletcher. Pletcher's got one in that race. The six is Classic Causeway, Julien Le Perou for Kenny McPeak. The seven is King's Barnes, Luis Saez for Todd Pletcher. So Pletcher put in a couple there. Steel Sunshine is the eight horse, Paco Lopez riding for Bobby DeBona. And the nine is Skippy Long Stockings, Jose Ortiz for Safi Joseph Jr. So that's a pretty good field of the older handicap horses. Yeah.
Solid field, no question about it. And let's see the draw. And, you know, we still got a few days to see what happens.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. And all I have to say is that it looks like First Mission, Mr. Cox's horse, might be the favorite, a little bit of a favorite over Skippy Longstockings.
Yeah. I like the Skippy Longstockings drew outside. I think that's going to help this horse, and should be a good race. Should be a good race.
All right.
By the way, Ralph, the new claiming rule in New York, one of the key points of that is when you claim a horse, usually you have to step him up 25% in the first 30 days that you have him.
Yeah.
Now they lowered that 30 days to 20 days. I don't know why. I guess they think it's better for the horses. I don't know, but that's part of the new rule.
So, in other words, they just lowered the days
the jail time.
Right. The time that he's in court, so to speak, jail, until he can get out, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, in this day and age, really, guy who claims a horse in a race probably wouldn't come back for another 2-3 weeks anyhow, even if the horse was ready to run again. Because I think when you claim a horse, most of the time, unless you're reclaiming him, you kind of get to want to know the horse and their habits, I think.
Yeah, you want to learn all about them. So 3 weeks, that's 21 days.
Yep.
That's why I guess maybe they lowered it to 20 days.
All right, well, CAW, before we get to that, do you have anything else on your soapbox? No, we did
good. All good. We're getting ready.
We're getting ready
for Saratoga and Del Mar, so we're going to be very positive for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, the constitutionality of HISA, which was contested in court, was knocked down. So we're going to have HISA around for a while, at least until somebody else files a lawsuit. But in any case, now it seems the concern is about the betting public and the gambling and the computer guys that have infiltrated into the systems of the racetracks and, getting the computers into the racetracks and their systems is not, you know, nothing. There's nothing funny there, but it's the fact that their technology with that is so advanced and sophisticated that it is hindering the regular guy going out there just walking up to the window and making his bets. The computer-assisted wagering has, I guess they're doing about 10% more in handle now with that in effect than you had before. So the tracks, like that, certainly. And for the most part, the gambling public, I think we like bigger pools too. But because of their computer programs and everything and the way they can get in and make the bets and a multitude of bets in just a second or two, like they do trading on Wall Street with the computers, it's affecting the pricing and the payoffs if even winners in races, when a guy thinks he's betting a horse at 7-2 and the horse wins and gets $5 in change for his win, that doesn't sit right.
It certainly doesn't, Ralph, and let's be honest, the racetracks are catering to the CAW players. They really are, because they don't care about the public and they don't care about their players. And that's a big mistake because, again, we said it on Sunday, they're being short-sighted. They don't realize the long-term damage they're doing to the game. They're going to chase people away. I said it on Sunday. I'll say it again. I know plenty of serious players that no longer will make win bets on horses because they just don't feel confident. They don't feel comfortable. You can't bet a horse expecting to get $12 and go to the window and get $7.60. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for anybody. And it's a quick, it's a quick recipe to destroy the game. And they don't seem like they're doing anything about it. In my opinion, they're protecting these guys. They used to show the prices, the odds on the chicklets when they're going down the backstretch. You don't see that anymore. They never show odds, a lot of racetracks anyway, until they're at the top of the stretch and you already, and the drastic drops happened already. So people don't notice it. But if you bet a horse, you're going to notice it. And that's a big, big problem. And I don't have the answer, but somebody better come up with an answer or we're doomed.
All right. Now, let me do a few things, first of all. One, as far as the chicklets are concerned, they post them a little bit later at a lot of racetracks because they have to wait until the last monies roll into the computer to fix it lock in.
To adjust the odds.
Lock in the final odds. There's nothing funny going about that. It's just that they have to wait until the computer locks in those final odds after they open the starting gate. It takes maybe 10, 20 seconds. I don't know. Whatever it is.
But it didn't happen in the past. This just started recently, Ralph. You would see the chicklets and you'd see 5-1. Then you'd see them turning for home 7-2 and cross the finish line 5-2. So you're able to follow it on the chicklets.
Right.
Now you don't see the first two or three flashes. You only see the 5-2 final flash. Well, that's good and that's fine. But if you bet the horse, you know what you bet him at, Ralph. And they can put up whatever they want, but you saw the drop. You know, obviously a lot less people are going to notice it because unless you bet on the horse, it's not going to make a difference to a lot of people, but it should. It really should.
Well, it does to the people, even if you're, whatever you're betting, if you're betting a horse, you kind of, as they load in the gate, you're looking for the final odds, what you believe to be the final odds on the horse, saying, oh, I'm going to get 7-2 on this horse. That's great. Now let's get him home a winner. And all but the winner actually is the one that is affected by the general public when they see the payoff, but there are other horses that are going up and down as well. But, being just a regular guy and, believe me, a computer neophyte as I am, how does it actually work? I mean, do they predetermine how much money they're going to bet by the pockets of probabilities or whatever? I just don't see how it works that way, because we know it's all a program. It's a computer program. It's not a guy just sitting there calculating right away. It'd be too fast.
You couldn't do it without a computer,
yeah.
And it's locked in on finding the most value for, or where the public missed the value. But it's amazing, Ralph, how many times it happens to be the winner. It's just, listen, I'm not saying they're cheating or they're pass posts or anything like that, but it's amazing how many, yeah, there's a rare occasion where the winner, the price will go up from 9-2 to 5-1 on rare occasion,
mm-hmm.
but many, many more times the odds go down than they ever do go up.
Okay, well, the basic, as far as horse races is concerned, the bigger the pools, the better it is for bettors. That's the first basic, okay? But in adding like approximately 10% to the pool now with having these advantages with the computer, computer-assisted wagering in there, the pool is going up, but it just doesn't seem it's fair to the betting public.
Listen, they talk about, let's go to Saratoga, let's go to Del Mar. There's so much dumb money there. What do they call dumb money? Dumb
yeah.
money are people that never come to the track and they're betting $2 here, $2 there, whatever. So the handle goes up, but you love betting into dumb money because you have an edge. Well, guess what? CAW has this same edge even on smart money because they're betting whatever, they're adding more money into the pool, but they're always landing on the winners. They're getting an edge. So they're betting smart money into smarter money, where we want to bet smart money into dumb money. Do you get it?
Well, I would love to use another word than dumb money because the people out there.
Okay, I'm not calling anybody dumb. I didn't call anyone dumb or anything like that.
Right.
We're just calling the, you know, less sophisticated bets. How's that?
All right. A lot of people are betting, the colors of the silks, the jockey's name, or the horse's name. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
So a lot of that stuff there.
That's unsophisticated money going into the pool that you want to bet against. You want to bet against that.
Sure you do. Now, but hey, let me tell you something. Those people get lucky on occasion, and we are the dummies,
of course.
The end. But that is only on the wind pools, you're saying? It is not affecting the exacts?
I don't know. I have no idea. But now I hear that at NYRA, they're allowing CAW to get involved in the early pick five pool. Well, I'm not playing early pick fives at NYRA anymore, if that's the case. And, so now they're expanding, I guess. It used to be for them. How do we know? Unless you're charting the exact, you're not going to know what they dropped. Or, you know what I'm saying?
It is important for you. You just said something that's really important for me. And I want to, do you have any idea when NYRA started, when they started allowing them into the pick five pools? And you know why I'm asking, because last week we mentioned it on the show where the late pick four at NYRA at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct, paid more than the late pick five with an extra horse bet into it. And remember, I asked you guys about it, and because it was strange to me, I had to double check it. But the late pick four paid more than the late pick five, and I'm just wondering if that is one of the days that they had already allowed them to jump into that pick five pool, because that would make a lot of sense in that result.
They're allowed to jump into the early pick five pool, not the late pick five pool. But something to what you just said, Ralph, maybe they bet the late pick four. That's why it paid more. You know what I'm saying? That's why there was the price differential. I don't know.
I was going to say, if they bet the late pick four, it would
it would have paid less.
Would have paid less, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is good conversation. This is good fodder for conversation because the end result is, you pass it along the line. The end result is guys like you and me and everybody out there listening and watching are the people who pay the bills. And we want is a fair shake. That's all we want. And we know that there have been for decades and decades ever since gambling started in horse racing, where there's always going to be people out there that are trying to take an edge somewhere along the line, somewhere where there's an advantage to them that
doesn't have to be a big advantage, especially if you're playing with a rebate like CAW is getting 10-12% rebate. They don't care. They'll be happy if they break even. If they're betting millions of dollars and you're getting a 10% rebate, do the math.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do the math. That's for sure. In any case, we look at the races and try to handicap the races and bet the races, and that's what we're going to continue to do. But I know that the racetracks have had meetings and panels, et cetera, on this particular situation. They don't want to lose the extra money. We know that. The tracks do not want to lose that extra money coming in. But I think there might be some tweaking going on to where they might cut their particular participation in the pool.
And raise the takeout. And they're talking about raising the takeout to make up for the money that they would be giving up by not allowing, you know, CAWs to bet. But why should fans stand for that? I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, now that is one of the proposals, that one of the things that they're talking about is we'll cut out CAW and maybe raise the takeout a little. Or the other proposal, or the other thought I heard that they were kicking around was cutting off the CAWs like 2 minutes, 5 minutes to post time. So you,
that they should have done to begin. That should they should have done from day one.
Yeah.
From day one, the first horse goes in the gate. That's it. They're all shut off, and that's it. Why are they even waiting to do that?
Well, and the bottom line is this: I think they have to do the cutoff point to accommodate the amount of time it takes for the computer to actually calculate all of that and give you the final odds. So if it's a minute, fine. If it's 2 minutes, fine. If it's 30 seconds, fine. Whatever that time limit is to get that last money in to give you a final odds before the horses break out of the starting gate should be the cutoff point.
Yeah, listen, people get shut out for a week, a few days. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's so much better. It's so much better. We'll sacrifice getting shut out and missing a bet to fix the problem.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. And, you know, we're just trying to, the health of the horse we're working on, and now it's about time to worry about the health of the gambler, the guy who pays the bills, that's for sure. Well, on Sunday at Aqueduct, you know, the usual culprits won their races. Wesley Ward had a winner in a two-year-old race. Rispoli and Pletcher pulled out a nice winner in the first race at Aqueduct at Belmont with a two-year-old maiden, Carmen's Candy Jar, who won nicely under Irate Ortiz Jr. Paid $3.50, which is probably a lot of Rispoli's money anyhow. And in the featured race, the Dancing Renee, the winner there was Can't Hurry Love with Trevor McCarthy for David Duggan, paying $11.20. Pick six, by the way, at Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday paid handsomely, paid $62,701. And I want to thank you very much for a winner at Monmouth Park, by the way, on Sunday. At Monmouth Park, your horse, Coach Adams, came in and paid a nice $8, a nice $8 price there on a horse that was 7-2, so they didn't bet too much in there to knock you down, that's for sure. Coach Adams wins there. By the way, Christopher Clement won the stakes race, the tail of the cat, with the Vincent Charminade Carson's run. That is a 9-20 winner there. And as far as Churchill Downs is concerned, Wesley Ward had a winner there as well, along with Brandon Walsh, you know, Mr. Romans, Mr. Amos, Mr. Mitchell, and Mr. Sharp, all winners at Churchill. As far as Los Alamitos was concerned, boy, I got to tell you, highest priced winner of the day came in the last race, a $26 winner, but everything else looked pretty much close to the best at Los Al. However, with that $26.20 winner in the last race, the pick six did pay $13,689 at Los Alamitos. I do want to congratulate John Lindo. John Lindo had his suggested late pick four at Los Alamitos on his sheet on Sunday, won. And that pick four for a buck, now remember, it's a dollar bet there, $356.20. Now it's time to get a parlay winner from Monmouth to I don't know where with you today.
Churchill Downs, only game in town for us today, Ralph. Not a terrific card, but we found a horse that we think is going to win in the sixth race today, 6 furlongs maiden claiming event. I like the number 10 horse in here. Oh My Mia. This is a 3-year-old filly from the Tom Amos barn. Rider switched today to Jose Ortiz. She's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. I think she works out a great trip in here. I like number 10, Oh My Mia, to win today's sixth race out of Churchill Downs.
All right. Oh My Mia. That's what we want to hear him say with Jose Ortiz aboard for Tom Amos. That is in the sixth race today at Churchill Downs. That'll go about 1:18 Pacific time. And the 10 horse in the sixth race at Churchill is Jonathan Hardoon's play off of that nice winner on Sunday. Well, Jonathan, we'll see how the racing industry values the regular $2 player, the guy that comes in and plays day in and day out. That's for sure. With the, but this is good conversation to have, and we'll wait and see how the dust settles on this one. You can get Jonathan's full selections for Churchill Downs today at your website, right?
JonHardoon.com. Thank you, Ralph, and stay safe. Be well.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
All right, you got it, my man. Thanks a lot. We go to our next break, and when we come back, hey, Rich Eng is back from his little vacay. So we get Rich Eng on next. Don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this start of another racing week on this Wednesday morning. Now we're going to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, you're in a perky mood. I guess you had a good time with the family function over the weekend.
Yeah, I went to a family wedding. My brother's daughter got married. And it was in the Altadena neighborhood. If anybody listening knows about that area, went to a country club in Altadena. And I escaped the Vegas heat, at least for a few days, Ralph. It was just gorgeous out there in Southern California.
Yeah, Altadena is a very nice place, that's for sure, in Southern California. And it looks like you're in another location this morning as well. You're still in California?
No, I'm back in Vegas, but you know what, Ralph? I started to get set up this morning, and there's a construction crew out on Glistening Sands, literally right in front of our house, drilling into the concrete sidewalk and also the street. I don't know exactly if it's electrical or telephone or whatever, but it was way too noisy, so I'm in the back room.
Well, we thank you for that, that's for sure. Florida gets the Stanley Cup, but it wasn't easy.
It was a really exciting Stanley Cup. They went to seven games. It was a really nip and tuck as Panthers held on to win by a goal. And, you know, you feel bad for a superstar like Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
He keeps knocking on the door and can't quite get there. But you know what? It's a matter of when, not if. A superstar like Connor McDavid wins the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. They lost to our Vegas Golden Knights last year in the Stanley Cup. I think we dispatched them. It was either five or six games, but Vegas was the better team last year. And in the Stanley Cup, the Panthers ended up being the better team. So now the winter sports are over. We have the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup in the NHL. and the Boston Celtics winning the championship of the NBA.
Well, we know one thing about the Stanley Cup. It now gets real interesting because each player, I guess, gets a certain amount of time with the actual trophy, and they can do much of what they want with it. And it was fun for us Las Vegas fans when the Golden Knights won that we followed, and the newspaper, you know, followed it as well, where we were following where this cup was going all over the place. Now, it was displayed a lot here in Las Vegas at the certain hotels and the lobbies, et cetera. But it was really fun to you know, as a fan after the Stanley Cup, to watch this trophy go all over the place. And I can only tell the fans in Florida, it's going to be a lot of fun for you guys to pick up the paper or watch the news in the evening and see where this cup travels throughout the year. That's for sure. Something that's added to the hockey that isn't added to any of the other really professional sports.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, every member of the team has a chance to possess the cup for 24 hours. And so sometimes you see pictures of a player might be flying home to Canada or the United States, wherever their hometown is, and they buy an airplane seat for the Stanley Cup. It's sitting next to them on the airplane. And, of course, they go around all the fans and give everybody a chance to drink out of the cup, touch the cup. It's really a great tradition. So much fun.
It is a lot. It's a great tradition, especially for the fans of the winning team. They get to kind of experience that throughout the year as well. All right. Well, Rich, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. You know, when Los Alamitos is over on the next two weekends, we'll be going down to Del Mar and, of course, up to Saratoga. So, but I know that when we get you on shows like this, that don't have your usual selections for Southern California, you look around somewhere along the line and get a pick, and I think you might have one today.
Yeah, I'm a big simulcast player, just like you and most of the listeners out there. We love to bet. We love horse racing, and if we can find a nugget to make some money on, it doesn't matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday, Sunday. Let's go get them, Ralph. I do have a horse today. An angle that I've talked about over literally decades from the Review Journal and also on the radio show with you is I like a horse that wins a race and runs a what I call a slower buyer speed figure. And I found an animal like that in the Belterra Park in the second race. Take a look at the outside horse, number 5, Takafumi. This horse won last time out and ran a 56 buyer. The race 2 back was a 60 buyer. And one of the angles, Rob, is the fact that it tells me this horse has a faster race in his resume to run back to, so has a very good chance to repeat. Takafumi, 7-2 in the morning line. Let's go with the 5. Takafumi, race 2, Belterra Park.
All right, 7-2 on the morning line in this race, and it's certainly not close to being the favorite. Takafumi, a Brazilian bred, number 5 in the second race today at Belterra Park. And that post time should be right around, about 10 o'clock this morning.
It's about 10 a.m., so it's pretty early, folks. And also, it's part of that early pick 5 at Belterra. And that's a track that used to be called River Downs, Ralph. We spent many days over there on our busman's holiday.
Right. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and watch out for that drilling.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we got a thought or two with John Lindo. How does he see the CAW stuff? Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse, with daytime racing continuing through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. The upcoming stakes action will feature the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th, plus the meet's marquee race, the Great Lady M Stakes, on the closing weekend. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July, and our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. Great daytime racing continues at Los Alamitos.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas to wrap up this Wednesday show. Before we do, a lot of good conversation about to happen with John Lendo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. A couple of things. Tyler Bayes, I know that was off on Sunday because of the accident, the mishap in the starting gate with his hand. But is it serious enough for him, do you think, to miss this weekend?
I'm guessing yes. I had heard Sunday it was a possible fracture of either the wrist or their hand. He was going to go to a specialist on Monday. I don't have an update yet from his agent as to what's happening, but I'm going to assume that Tyler Bayes is going to be out for a little while.
Oh, that's a shame. He was just starting to get back into the groove in Southern California, but these things can happen at any time with these racehorses, that's for sure. Looking at the brief days that we've had racing at Los Alamitos, and congratulations to the Linda Report on Sunday. If they were here at the South Point, picked up the Linda Report, you suggested and hit the late pick four, and that thing paid handsome for a dollar. It paid $356.20 on the Linda Report.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's if you can beat the favorites, and it was tough to beat the favorites out there the opening weekend. Favorites went 10 for 18. That's 55%. You know, and that's going to be a tough one to beat. But if you can find, the odd one here and there to upset the apple cart, you really do get paid at Los Alamitos.
Well, and that pick four sequence, it started out with a 340 horse and another $3 winner for Baffert in a maiden race with John Hernandez. And then came a nice 1140, but then the last race, the $26.20 winner, giving Edwin Maldonado his second win of the day, really capped it off.
Yeah, that was a $24 ticket after scratches, so we got better than 10 to 1, so we'll take that for sure.
Absolutely, no question about that, that's for sure. Well, your thoughts about the computer-assisted wagering, the CAW?
Oh, I got a lot of thoughts about that, Ralph. Yeah. Scott DeRudy, who is works for First Racing, and he's also the president of the Elite Turf Racing Group. That's the CAW company owned by both First Racing and Naira Betts. In the meeting with the California Horse Racing Board last week, was going over some of the numbers, and he estimated, he didn't give us facts, but he estimated that the CAWs provide about 20% of the handle in California. I'm going to tell you just from personal experience, I think that is very conservative. I'm going to think that number is, mid-20s, high-20s. I wouldn't be surprised if the handle's over 30%.
Now, that's in California, correct?
Right, in California, okay. Basically right. On the California tracks.
Yeah, okay.
And, it's something that I can't see how this model is going to make sense long term. Yeah, you want the high-end players, but, they have access to some looking in some pools, looking for where the discrepancies are, maybe where the fans are not on the right numbers as far as value, and they fill in those gaps. So they have access to pools that the retail player does not. That's an unfair advantage. And, again, their goal is to break even because, like John Hardoon says, with the rebate they're getting and the amount of money they're getting, if they break even, they have a pretty good year. So, and the other thing for us, Ralph, I'm betting not just to bet a winner. I'm betting based on value. The horse I gave out on your show on Sunday, See Through It.
Mm-hmm.
He was 2-1 in the gate, ready to go, and that was a fair price. So I bet they run the race. He gets up by a head barely, but he got up. So, okay, well, I figured maybe he went down 9-5, 8-5. He went down to 3-5 from the time the gates opened to the wire, and the even money favorite in the gate, Discro Tribute, went off at 2-1.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give out a horse that I see at 3-5 on the radio show. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm not going to bet a horse at 3-5 with live money. So that discourages me from making further win bets, and my win betting has been cut back quite a bit because of the CAW.
Now, a key thing that you said that DeRudy is an official with the racing organization, First Racing, but yet he's also either a part owner or running the CAW outfit?
He's the president of Elite Racing. He runs that.
Well, isn't that sort of a conflict?
Well, you would think so, but apparently not. They tried to explain it in the CHRB meeting the other day. Why he doesn't believe it's a conflict, thinking that well, these are high-end players that we should know what they want and what they want to do, and they're going to play anyway, so we should have the input from them as to what happens. It's a really interesting, they have archives of the CHRB meetings on the California Horse Racing Board website.
Yeah.
It was about an hour discussion. It was pretty interesting.
Well, and we want to remind everybody again, it is not a sense of cheating. It's a sense of getting an advantage based on a technology that the normal guy doesn't have. Because what they look for are pockets of odds of horses that should be in a race such as that, in a handicapping race such as that, that should be a price that isn't, and that's when they pounce and go on it. And like you said, they can lose those bets as long as they're getting the rebates. The rebates are based on the handle, whether you win or lose. The rebate is based on the handle, and that's what makes the big difference, right?
Right, and they've got a group of handicappers that are, finding real, what they perceive are the correct odds, and they're pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And so when they see value on the board and they can lay that money in very late, obviously they're going to fill those gaps in. They're not going to win all the time, but when they do, they are going to get real value for the prices. And if they can do that enough to hit around even at the end of the year, they get an awful nice check.
Yeah, well, and they get 10% of the action no matter what. You said it was a 10% rebate?
It just depends on the amount that they bet. And what a couple of tracks have done is if they bet very, very late, they reduce the amount of rebate they get back. They want them to put that money in the pool earlier.
Yeah.
So they'll cut back the percentage of rebate if they bet in the last 30 seconds or something. But so there is some incentive to try and get them to go earlier.
Yeah.
But and if the right solution would be, like you say, to lock up the pools after the first horse goes in the gate.
Right.
But then they'll just go someplace else, someplace else where they can get in.
Well, all I can say is this is something that has to be addressed, and it's got to be something that winds up in the end to be fair to everybody, including the regular low-end players and the regular players every day like us, that's for sure. This conversation.
Well, if they're stopping a guy like you and me, Ralph, from going to the windows and betting, then something's wrong, because it's not hard for me to go to the window.
No, and neither is it I. And we will continue this conversation throughout, but we have come to the end of this show. And so until we get together again tomorrow and maybe talk a little bit about actually the racing in Southern California, John, what we'll do is we'll say goodbye to everybody with one more thing, and you're going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Sulaco at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.